Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This show is brought to you by Sledge & Company Financial, LLC. I'm Taylor Sledge, founder and CEO. At Sledge & Company, we help businesses and families do better with their money. Check us out on the web at sledgecompany.com. That's sledgecompany.com.
What's up, everybody? Sorry to pull you away from real live American tackle football, but hey, we are scheduled to start now, so we're going to start now. Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I hope you guys enjoyed the first half of the Hall of Fame game. The second half, I guess, getting started here in just a second. But Trey Harris, only one target, and if I remember correctly, was not thrown on target, and that was it for him in the first half. You also got a look at Kenny Aboah. You guys remember that name? He's still around. He was on the field for Detroit tonight. So a little bit of action. The Chargers are smoking him right now. Let's see if that has changed since. No, Trey Harris, just the one target without a catch. I would assume his night's done, but we'll see. And again, for Detroit, that is somebody that I saw him on the field. You guys remember him, Kenny Aboah. He is playing for Detroit. So you got some football. I hope you guys enjoyed some of it. And I certainly did. I watched it. I'm a sicko. I watched the Hall of Fame game. I'll watch every single Saints preseason game. I love it. This is literally what I live for and cannot imagine talking about and doing anything else. So glad you guys are here. This is the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Tonight, I have put a confidence meter. This is what I decided to do since the next availability and all that is actually tomorrow for Ole Miss, tomorrow morning. And so that'll have to be Sunday when we talk about it next. But luckily, we'll get to do it on the radio show tomorrow. So I'd encourage you guys to hop on over and listen to Hey Dad and I talk about everything that we hear post-practice. But a confidence meter is what I decided to do tonight. Just simple scale from 1 to 10, each position group at Ole Miss, how confident I think you should be in each one. So remember, we did it with overall roster personnel, offense coordinator, defense coordinator, head coach. Remember, we did that. Let's do it with the specific position groups. Here's how confident I am or I think you should be in each of them for Ole Miss in 2025. So that's what we're doing tonight on the podcast. And again, I'm glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. And this edition and every edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You don't have to live in Brookhaven to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. That's the beauty of it. They are worth the drive wherever you are in Mississippi because it's a place that's going to take care of you like a person. They have great in-house financing, a great new and used selection there, and they'll give you $1,000 off on me before anything else. $1,000 if you're buying a new Toyota, just tell them that I sent you, and boom, $1,000 taken off the price. They have a great service department as well if you do live in the area. So again, online, toyotabrookhaven.com, exit 40 in Brookhaven, Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver for you. So who are the best, in my opinion, and worst position groups at Ole Miss? Let's start with the offense. We'll start with the offense and a group that I have talked about all offseason. You guys are probably sick of hearing me say it. I am a full-on, like I've fully bought in and drank the Kool-Aid with this group of wide receivers. I gave them the highest ranking on the team, a 9 out of 10 for Ole Miss's wide receiver group. They have the talent. You already know in an Ole Miss uniform what they're capable of with Caden Lee. And, I mean, I know it's just one practice highlight, but my gosh, did you guys see that one-handed catch? That was insane. But you already know what you've got with him in an Ole Miss uniform. You've seen and you've heard what they think of Deshaun Stribling, Trey Wallace coming over from Penn State, highly experienced wide receiver, and the depth with Ray and Alexander, and you've got a couple talented freshmen coming in as well that they seemingly really believe in. That group of wide receivers is, there's talent, there's experience, there's depth, And I think that it is not only the strongest position group on the team, it's one of the best in the SEC, even though they're not getting the preseason love that they may deserve. But by the end of the season, I think they're going to get the accolades that they deserve. The only reason why I'm not a full-on 10 is because you haven't seen Stribling and Wallace do it in an Ole Miss uniform yet. That's the only thing holding me back from saying, guys, this group is totally legit. Like, there is no possibility of failure. It's because you haven't seen two of your three starters do it in an Ole Miss uniform, but they've done it elsewhere with worse quarterback play and worse offensive systems, and you've got something serious at wide receiver. So 9 out of 10, by far. I say by far. I've got an 8 out of 10 on here as well, but I do think it's a no-brainer that the wide receiver group is the best position group that Ole Miss has this year. Tight ends, I gave a 7.5, and it would be higher if Luke Haas was not hurt for some amount of time. We don't quite know what that is yet, but he is out for some indeterminate amount of time. And so now it's Daquan Wright. And then even though apparently, I mean, people keep saying that, you know, they like Trace Bruckler, but they've moved Caleb Odom over to tight end to some degree anyway. I am a lot more confident in that group when Haas is fully healthy. I still really like Daquan Wright a lot. When fully healthy, that room is better than a 7.5, I think. But just because the injury bug has bitten them, it has knocked them down a little bit lower. It simply would be higher if not for that injury. The pass catchers at Ole Miss as an overall unit, the pass catchers could be much better than they were a year ago. Running backs, I gave a 6 to, and maybe that's a little high. I gave a 6 out of 10 in part because I see the path. I can see the path to that group being better than they were last year. But as you guys know, I am very much in wait and see mode when it comes to the running back position, not only being handled the right way, but evaluated the right way, having the having that room be better than it was a year ago. I want to wait and see, but you can see the path. They're much bigger. Size was an issue at the running back position last year. That definitely hurt them in what they could do in short yardage. They're much bigger there with Lacey and Diggs and Damian Taylor, much bigger backs. There's a lot of experience there, especially with Diggs and Taylor. There's a path to them being good at running back, but until they actually prove it, I'm not going any higher than a 6. Quarterback, I did a 7. 7 with future 9 to 10. If you are selling Austin Simmons stock, I am buying it. I'm buying as much as I possibly can afford, literally buying all the stock that I can get in Austin Simmons. But for this year, as a young quarterback, albeit his third year in the system, getting his first action as a starter anyway, there is a wait, and you got to see it first kind of approach with him. But you see the talent. It is absolutely there. You hear and feel the confidence. Everybody around that program believes in him. But don't be surprised if there's some growing pains at some point this season. That's totally normal to expect. In fact, I would very much bet in favor of him having some issues this season at times. But I'm buying his future. And the right now looks to be pretty darn good, too. But I expect some growing pain, so that's why I went with the 7. Talent, upside, ceiling, incredibly high. His first start is a few weeks away. His second start is on the road at Kentucky. Not an easy place to play typically. So he'll have a chance to prove it quickly. But for now, I'm buying the stock, but I'm not giving him a 9 or anything like that yet. Offensive line, it's a 5, and probably should have gone lower than that. I know that there is an opportunity for them to be much better at center. I know both tackles are healthy now. I know they brought in some transfers on the interior of the offensive line in particular. Prove it to me. I mean, a 5 is generous. Prove it to me. on paper, it looked really good a year ago, and it just simply was not. Prove it to me. I don't want to be too repetitive with you guys talking about the offensive line. Just prove it to me. I'm not going to spend any time hyping them up. I'm not going to spend any time believing in them until I see them improve actually on the football field in an actual game. I will not, no matter who writes and what they say about improvement on the offensive line, even if it comes from Lane Kiffin directly, I will not buy it until I see it. Simply put. On defense, defensive line, I gave it an 8. I am a lot higher on this defensive line, I think, than most, if not all, of the national people. And I don't blame them, by the way. You are perfectly within bounds to be very skeptical of Ole Miss's defensive front. You're totally within bounds. Look at all the talent that they lost. Walter Nolan was unbelievable for 13 games. He was a beast. Princely was feared by opponents. J.J. Pegues, so consistent. Jared Ivey, so consistent. You lose Chris Paul at linebacker. I know that's not defensive line, but so much loss on the front six. It's fair to think, well, shoot, they're in trouble losing all that talent. I don't think that they are, though. But between – and I'm looping Santarian Perkins into this, although I guess he's going to play a more – true linebacker this year, but I'm looping him into the defensive line because he's going to get after the quarterback a lot. So I count him as a pass rusher and a defensive lineman. But between what you know from Xavier Harris, and by the way, people keep saying that, oh, he didn't play much last year. I think he played a lot more than he played enough anyway to give you an impression that this guy can be a relatively dominating force in the SEC in short order. But between Harris and Perkins and the couple of edge guys they added in the portal, both of which either four-star or five-star recruits in portal additions, and every other defensive lineman in that room that is expected to get any amount of playing time is a former four- or five-star player in coaching. In coaching, it is a talented group on paper. There's a couple of guys with real experience, or at least in Harris's case, he has proven that he can be great to borderline elite in spurts. You got to see it for 60 snaps a game, but in spurts, he has shown you that he's got the ability to be that guy. You already know what Perkins is capable of. They have the talent pedigree. They portaled well. They only needed to add two guys in the portal, but both of them are good prospects. And Randall Joyner has most definitely, to me, earned the benefit of the doubt. Totally earned the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. Linebacker, I gave it a 6.5. You guys have heard me say this before. TJ Jottery, very good for Ole Miss a year ago, and he's the green dot. The guy that made all the calls, he's the one that they brought to media days. He's a leader on that defense. He's very talented and capable, had a highly productive season last year. If you want to loop Perkins into the linebacker conversation, then it goes from a 6.5 to an 8.5 very really quick. But whoever's going to be playing next to Dottery, whether it's Jaden Yates or Andrew Jones or Taj Chambers, all of those guys that they added via transfer portal are making a step up in competition, right? You're going from the Sun Belt to the SEC, or you're going from the FCS to the SEC. And Chambers in particular, I think, is somebody that people have talked about as a guy that's stood out so far in his time at Ole Miss. But it's still a significant step up in competition. And sometimes that goes really well for guys, and sometimes it doesn't. So even though on paper, like the portal additions there are good, I'm still wondering if the transition is going to be difficult for them. So that's why, to me, it's only a 6.5. And in the defensive secondary, I gave them both defensive back and safety a 6. Probably a little generous until proven otherwise. But again, coaching is a factor in that. And even though there is a lot to replace in the defensive secondary for Ole Miss, there's no doubt about it. If anybody can get a secondary playing well, it's what they currently have in their defensive staff, including, of course, P. Pete Golding as their defensive coordinator. I think Sage Ryan is better than LSU fans give him credit for. Is he the best safety in the country? Did he live up maybe to his five-star billing? Maybe not. But I do think he is better than LSU fans give him credit for. I know they've made some shuffling around there in the secondary, but Braxton's a guy that's played a lot. Kite's a SEC guy. Ricky Fletcher on paper looks like somebody that can really help them. Wydett Williams' two best games last year were the two games that he played against SEC teams. So there's a path there for the secondary to be okay. You know, they portaled a lot of guys. The talent pedigree in the portal was pretty good, but a lot of it's either unproven or they're taking a big step up in competition. You're not as woolly about the talent there, at least you shouldn't be, as you are on the defensive line. There's no doubt about it. But I do think that there's a path for them to be not bad in the defensive secondary. And if we were having this conversation in March, I would have told you you should be terrified of your defensive secondary. I don't think terrified is the right word anymore. Skeptical, sure. That's fine. I would be skeptical. But terrified is not the word that I would use anymore. I think there's a path to them being good there in the defensive secondary. So glad you guys are here. Appreciate you as always. We'll read some of your comments and then we'll get out of here on this Thursday night. It was a little personal information about me. I think I told you guys this, but it was first day of school day, first day of kindergarten, real school, big elementary school, right? And he was brave. He was brave. He cried a little, you know, kind of latched onto me and latched onto his mom as we were, you know, saying bye, because we got to take him into the room today, and that's the one and only time we can do it. Otherwise, it's carpool drop off. And he was brave and he cried a little, but he did well. And as we were walking out, I thought, like, I was holding it in well, right? I was holding it in. And as we were walking out, I just kind of, like, I lost it. I looked at his mom, and she looked at me, and we were just like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe that he's in kindergarten already, and he's going to real school, and he's there all day long. And I cried. I absolutely got in the car. I showed strength for her. Like, I acted like I was tough. Like, ah, no, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. And I got in the car and I cried. I mean, just, yeah. I'm about to right now. It's the worst. It's also amazing at the same time. So I had an emotional day today. I was a big old baby today, guys. I'm just being transparent with you. I was a big old baby. I can tell that I talk about it too much, though. Sorry about that. All right. This podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi technology needs. If you are a Mississippi business and you need office tech, Mississippi business that needs office tech, absms.com is the place to go. They'll take care of you anywhere. Tell them that I sent you, and they'll give you a technology assessment on me. So just let them know that I sent you. Office technology, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. And I mean every day. Their online banking platform is great. Local loan servicing and decision making. The people at my local branch have learned my name because they actually, there's good people in there that actually care about me. When they ask you, how are you? You know, sometimes when people ask you, hey, how are you? They don't really want you to answer. It's just like a greeting. They want my answer when I go into my Priority One Bank location because they make me theirs, and they'll do the same for you. Need to talk about the length and girth of this football team. Oh, gosh. The tweet of Logan Diggs running a drill has gone super viral. Yeah. Okay. It's the color that is the problem there. Paint those things red, you know? Paint them red. The internet, though, is what it is. And that, I mean, They had to have known that people would make jokes about that, right? The social media manager had to have known that, right? Chargers have some of the best uniforms in the NFL. I'm excited to see their throwbacks. They're going to wear that old navy blue throwback. I'm looking forward to seeing that. James, good to see you, man, from over in Alabama. QB7 with upside. David says running back 7, wide receiver 8, tight end 8, offensive line 4, defensive line 7 with upside, linebacker 7, defensive back 4, safety 4. Fair enough. That's from David. I think when you talk about the best and worst position groups, you should project them against the 8 SEC teams on their schedule and probably Tulane as well. Ooh, that's a good one. Thank you for the idea. That's a good idea. Caden Lee's going to be a legend, you say? He just doesn't drop the football. And now that I said that, he's going to have a drop on the opening possession of the first game. So, thing is, Ole Miss might be able to mask some issues against some of these teams on the schedule, mainly in the secondary against teams like Kentucky. Yeah, I don't think, and look, they didn't do it last year. I know people like making jokes about Brock Vandergrift, but Vandergrift didn't beat Ole Miss last year. Ole Miss offense beat Ole Miss last year. They held him in check other than one long pass, which, hey, you know, it happened, but is what it is. Yes. I don't think Kentucky is equipped to take advantage of Ole Miss in that way. Georgia might not be able to. So, but then you look at, I think Taylen Green's better than a lot of people think. That he is, and if he's healthy, he'll be a thorn in Ole Miss's side that day. LSU's makeup would scare the hell out of me unless we see a rather significantly improved Ole Miss secondary. I mean, there's a real chance that LSU comes to Oxford and is able to score a lot of points. Quarterback plus those receivers, pretty dangerous passing offense. Retzloff with Tulane. We'll see. I don't think he's the best thrower of the football in the same way that you're talking about with Nussmeier or Lagway if he's healthy, which can't seem to stay that way. So, yeah, year two with no drop seems doable for him possibly. I think Daquan Wright's one of the best tight ends in the SEC this year. Yeah, just they need to use him the right way. They after he took Priest Corn's job, I don't think they used him adequately last year. He could have been a lot more involved in the offense than he was. But when he was given the opportunity, yeah. Caleb Odom at tight end, kind of like a hybrid. I am cautious. Like I'm – when you listen to Lane Kiffin talk about it, and then when you talk to people about what the wide receiver room was like, I don't – maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong all the time, so I certainly can be wrong here as well. I just don't foresee him playing as much as people think that he's going to, unless he can acclimate to tight end well and this has injury just lingers. Without that, I don't think he would have seen the field very much. Give the running backs 8.5 due to experience. They do have a lot of that. So Judkins is the only rookie left to not sign a contract. Yeah. And you know, it's a difficult thing to talk about because for two reasons. One, in this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. And false accusations do happen, just as a blanket statement. They do happen. And accusations also are true or can be true. So you have to treat something like this a little delicately if you're going to do it the right way. I do think, even though he was successful at Ohio State and held, they won a national championship, and I do think Quinshon Judkins is the difference between Ole Miss making and missing the playoff just as a football player. Just as a football player. But that's not where they failed at the position last year anyway. It wasn't telling Quinshon to kick rocks. It was not adequately replacing him. That's where they failed. The arrest is, to some degree, validation for the people that wanted him gone. It shows that maybe they were onto something when they said that he was a problem. Maybe they were onto something when the entire offensive line was going to their coaches saying, I will not block for him anymore. Maybe they were onto something. with Freeze's offseason stuff going on, I cannot wait to see Auburn play Baylor. If he loses that game, it's over. Simple as that. Oh, no doubt. I mean, no doubt. If Auburn loses to Baylor, they're going to have two losses before the month of October, and they still have to play Georgia, Missouri. Don't sleep on this. They have to go to Arkansas and Vanderbilt and still play Alabama. But like, you're not just walking into Fayetteville. I don't think, and I know Ole Miss did it last year. I know they did. But an Arkansas schedule is just freaking brutal. Like, maybe they could quit by then because they have to play at Ole Miss, at Memphis, Notre Dame, at Tennessee, A&M before the Auburn game. So maybe the Q word has come out. But that offense with a fully healthy Talen Green can actually give people fits. I do think that if they find a way to keep their fans engaged, that game is not a pushover. He's a talented dude. He's long. He's athletic. He throws the football pretty good, good enough anyway. Just couldn't stay healthy last year. That system is going to bug some people. We could talk all year about the offensive line, literally. Yeah, we could. Do you know how Kentucky's looking on defense, mainly up front? That was a huge issue last year. That is where Kentucky can beat them if they're still good there. My plan is to have somebody, and I have yet to bring you guys the Sankey questions either. It's probably too late for that. But my plan is for the next few weeks to have somebody that covers every quote-unquote major team that Ole Miss plays this year for interviews as like an opponent preview. That is one thing that I'm going to ask is, hey, they were pretty darn good up front. I mean, they held Georgia in check, had Tennessee on the ropes for a while in Knoxville, and it was because they played great defense. Are they like that again? Are they built that way? We'll see. Will Mack and Princewell will do good. They definitely have an upside. There's no doubt about that. O-line's got to have length and girth. Yes, they do. Hearing great stuff about the corners. Clemson transfer and the Washington State guy with Sage. Tavoy Fagan is the Clemson transfer who you're talking about. High-level recruiting profile. No doubt about that. And, we'll see. There is a path in the secondary. There is a path. Just got to go prove it. LSU is the biggest issue by far when it comes to the secondary, but they will also be breaking in a mostly new offensive line. They have to get to Nuss that day, or it'll be a scoreboard or a scorched defense. Yeah, and that's the thing, man. That offensive line had a group of elite players on it. Do you expect Golding to turn up the heat more on defense with blitzes and pre-snap looks, knowing the weakness of this defense is on the back end? I do, actually. I think that. And also, even though they're still going to be pretty darn good on the defensive line, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to manufacture some pressure sometimes. They were just so capable of getting home with four consistently last year. It may not be as easy, so they might have to get a little bit more creative in that, but that also getting pressure alleviates issues on the back end. I mean, look at the 2023 team. They had to manufacture pressure. That was not a super duper talented Ole Miss defensive front. They had some guys on it, but it wasn't like overly talented. But they were really productive. If you go look at like the sack and TFL numbers and the havoc rate for Ole Miss's defensive front in 2023, it was really good. I would expect it to be like that again. More talent on this one than 23, though. Celebrating your 11th anniversary on August 4th. Congratulations, man. That's outstanding. Going to keep commenting length and girth to stop you from crying. Oh, man. I've got a fly. Oh, I got him. Look at that. Oh, that's the second time I've done that. I did that on the radio show. There's a clip floating around there somewhere where I caught a fly right in front of my face. Just did it again. Tiny little fruit fly or something. That Diggs tweet has 7 million views. Saw that Zach Evans retired. Dude could have killed it in 2023. He certainly could have. If he doesn't get concussed in the Alabama game and fumble, they'll win that game. I think they pull it out over LSU. That's the upset. It's a very small line, but LSU now is a slight favorite. Lagway doesn't seem like he can stay healthy, just like Anthony Richardson. That would concern me big time as a Florida fan. Yeah, and it's all small things, right? It's a hamstring here, a shoulder here, an ankle here, and the spin is, oh, well, you know, it's not a big deal. He'll be ready by the start of the season. Just like during the spring, he has a shoulder injury, can't throw. Oh, it's not a big deal. At some point, man, your quarterbacks have to practice and play. And soft tissue injuries building up are noteworthy. I think people don't realize that only two of Harris, Brown, and Echols can start. Most definitely have the best defensive tackle in the SEC coming off the bench. That's a lot of pressure on them, but yes, that they are, that the interior of the defensive line is truly talented. It was bigger than Quinshon. Offensive line play arose in 23, then 22, and worse again in 24. Probably should have replaced the offensive line coach. I am very surprised that that didn't happen. We've talked about that before for sure. But yeah, in 23, Quinshon masked offensive line issues. I think he would have masked some of them again last year as well. But again, the issue was not letting him walk. It was letting him walk and then letting that position group be a disaster. And again, I think they're to some degree validated. Let's say Arkansas is as bad as we're saying they could be. Do you think they make Pittman walk and give the reins to Petrino to coach the end of the season? 100%. Yeah, I mean, play this out here, right? Losable football games. At Ole Miss, at Memphis, at Notre Dame, at Tennessee, A&M, Auburn. I mean, they truly could lose six games in a row before they host Mississippi State. If they lose four in a row going into the home game against A&M on October 18th, let Bobby Petrino coach that game. I mean it. Let Bobby Petrino coach that game. With how much talk there is about to talk about with Freeze, you can make a whole podcast just about him. Man, those quotes about telling DJ Durkin to take it easy on Jackson Arnold because you need him to leave the field confident every day. Look, I know that coaches work with coaches on the other side of the ball to guarantee that players get looks and things like that. But if you're an Auburn fan, that's the thing. If you're an Auburn fan and you hear your football coach in year three after 2 years of underachievement and 2 years of weird, right? It's just been weird and you've underachieved and you have not been good enough. And you bring in this multi-million dollar quarterback who was not good at his previous stop. Talent pedigree sure is there. He was not good there though. But you tell everybody it was an Oklahoma problem. In the Auburn system, he's going to be great. And oh, by the way, pay him millions of dollars, right? That's how this started. Into, if I'm an Auburn fan that gives money, that buys tickets, and I hear my underachieving coach talk about how this multi-million dollar savior quarterback is getting babied at practice to build his confidence, and he's got to face Dave Aranda in week one, and he's got to go to Oklahoma and A&M in weeks four and five. Could not possibly imagine hearing the football coach of my favorite team talk about babying his quarterback at practice to build his confidence when they're going to Waco in 29 days. Whew. Couldn't do it. Deuce McAllister and Joe Gunn was a pretty good duo. He might block you on Twitter after he DMs you. It's happened more than once. It's happened more than once. Yep, exactly right. How much he blitzes, talking about Pete Golding, of course, will depend on if they can get home with four and how often. Yeah. Been thinking about the 22 team in comparison to this one. That team's defense was pedestrian at best. Certainly not as talented as this one. And really bad at points. Their offensive line was better. Should have won 10 games. Yeah. Some people are more prone to injuries. Yep. Also thin at wide receiver. Yes, they were. Part of winning games and being great is you have to stay healthy. Unfortunately for Ole Miss and Trey Harris, for example, it didn't work out. See, that's another one. The volume of small tissue injuries. It's just like at some point, you got to wonder if that's just who they are. By Mississippi State, I have Tennessee and Arkansas circled for trying to get SEC wins, and of course Ole Miss, but you know, yeah. Petrino needs a new motorcycle if he's going to be a head coach. Oh, man. Somehow DJU is in that quarterback for the Chargers. No way. Is he really? How's he doing? Is he doing okay? I mean, Harbaugh had Trey Lance looking great, so let's see. Fourth quarter, how's he doing? He's 2 for 3 for 25 yards. Look at him. Look at him. One of my favorite things in the preseason is looking up the box scores and having a, oh, I remember that guy in college moment. Kind of cracks me up. Yes, first game, August 30th. It is Saturday, August 30th. Georgia State was supposed to be USC in Los Angeles, but instead it's Georgia State in Oxford. At least it's at night, so you guys don't have to melt sitting in the August sun. I don't think we're going to get a false fall just yet, but we are getting a bit of a cool down here next week. Next Saturday, so not this coming one, but next Saturday has a high of 86 right now. That's not too shabby. Last one, Mike Norvell also interested. See how it shakes out at Florida State. 3 losing seasons in 5 years. That is unacceptable at a place like that. Wonder what the line on the State game will be. How improved are they? I mean, right now I would bet it's 14-17. But the Titans drops Chance Campbell, who does not get enough credit for his play in 2021. Did he catch on anywhere else? Let's find out. This will be the last one. But he was a hell of a football player. He really was. Let's see. It does not look like he has a team at the moment. Because he's still listed as his last team being the Titans in 2024. So, let's see if he's tweeted anything lately. He has not tweeted since 2022, so that's not going to be particularly helpful. So, oh, you meant for Georgia State? Oh, yeah, it's 5 touchdown. It's 5 touchdown line. I have a feeling that there's going to be a bit of running it up here. And don't forget, Georgia State did beat Vanderbilt last year, but they were not. It was not a good football team a year ago for Georgia State. Anyway, I got to run, guys. I appreciate you. We'll be back on Sunday talking everything that we've heard between now and then when it comes to training camp and more. See you guys then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.